Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad you are here with us to worship together. If this is the first time you are joining us to worship, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can pray for you and get to know you better. And before we begin our worship this morning, there are a few announcements I would like to share with you about Koinonia this week. As Koinonia is preparing for reopening in October, we're inviting brothers and sisters to get involved. And one of the best ways to get involved is to become a member of our ministry team. And currently, we have traffic team, site team, first aid team, guest team, production team, music team, Kapos children and youth. All you need to do is using the QR code right on the screen to complete the servant application online. The sign-up process is really simple. It won't take you more than 3 minutes. And if you have any question about our ministry team, you can use our online connect card to ask questions and we will try to answer all your questions immediately. And we really look forward to serve with you in October at Fraserville. As we are beginning to the reopening process, we'll be making some new changes about our online service time starting September. As we will gather in person at Fraserville Church on Saturday morning, and in order to prepare for us for this change, starting in September, all our online service will move from Sunday morning to Saturday morning. English service and youth worship will begin at 9:15 a.m., followed by Cantonese service at 10:45 a.m. And all our Kapos program will also be online on Saturday morning. So starting September, we look forward to worship with you on Saturday. A few weeks ago, our church had our outdoor baptism in July. And we are really thankful that a total of 13 brothers and sisters took a step of faith and received baptism. At the end of today's worship, we'll share some of the video highlights of the baptism. And if you want to check out their testimony sharing, you can either go to our church website, mykc.ca, or our YouTube channel. So look forward to share all the joyful moments of baptism right after today's service. As we prepare ourselves to worship God and receive His Word, let me invite you to stand. In Psalm 100, the Bible said, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gate with thanksgiving. Enter His court with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." So, church, let us worship the Lord together.
Ascribe to the Lord. ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The King above all in righteousness he reigns. The Maker of that has breath, praise the Lord. Let trees and flowers dance for joy. Let rocks resound the heavenly songs. Let nations come and bow before. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The King above righteousness he reigns, the Maker of all, the world bow at his name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You're worthy to be praised, the King above all, in righteousness you reign.
Only God is mighty Savior.
to do it all again. Be all glory and honor, amen. Unto him who is faithful to do it all again. Be all glory and honor, amen. Unto him who is faithful to do it all again. Be all glory and honor.
Come awaken your people, come awaken the saints.
God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people, come awaken the city. Oh God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken the people, come awaken the city. Oh God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God, stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out. Church, let's pray to our faithful God with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, please be seated.
We are in the third sermon of our series on the Lord's Prayer. Last week, Pastor Craig taught us on the petition, Your Kingdom Come. And what follows today is Your Will Be Done. The phrase, your will, as a noun, is not really a phrase that we use often anymore, other than maybe some instances when a loved one passes away and they have a will, or they have their will for their properties or their belongings. And so it's going to be helpful for us to just revisit very quickly what does will mean in our context. In the original language, the Greek language, the word the will means pleasure. It means delight. It means desire. And so when we say, God, your will be done, what we are really saying is something like, God, your pleasures be done. God, your desires be done. Your delight be done. And so if I were to ever make a translation of the Bible, Carson Lee translation of the Bible, which I would never do, but if I ever do, it might get translated as something like, God, do whatever you want. Or you can interpret it as, God, do whatever you want. Or maybe even, just do whatever you want. Jokes aside, this is relevant for us today, isn't it? We may not always say, God, you can do whatever you want, but we always certainly wonder, what is it that God wants? What is it that God wants for my life? What is my next step in my life right now? What is God's will for me?
Because surely praying your will be done, before we get to that, we have to first ask, what is God's will for me? Right? For me, the most memorable time when I encountered these thoughts was when I was in high school, when I just graduated high school. And some of you know, I had an interest to study music. I wasn't super sure, but I only really liked music back then. So I applied to a couple of schools, and UBC was one of them. And I applied to the UBC Bachelor of Music degree. And they did not take me in immediately, though. They put me in a wait list. But they did take me in to study arts, which was my second choice. And so during that time of waiting, the University of Toronto also took me in to study. They offered me a spot to study science, which I have no idea why. I never did any science in high school. But there was good incentive because, listen, they gave me a good amount of scholarship. My brother back then was in Toronto, so if I go to Toronto, I would be able to live with him. And also the music business, the music scene in Toronto is much better, I think, than that of Vancouver. And so as I was waiting, I had to choose. Should I wait here in Vancouver, study art and maybe hope to get into music? Or should I just leave and go to Toronto, live with my brother, get some scholarship money, and then maybe try to work in the Toronto music business? And so it's during that period of uncertainty, you know, between two choices, that I ask, God, what is your will? What is your will for my life? What do you want to do for my life? And for me, fortunately, that period of uncertainty didn't really last very long because very quickly UBC took me in to study music and I didn't have any choice to make. But this is not always the case, as you know, for you and I. Those periods of uncertainty usually last much longer than we'd like them to be. And sometimes we have to make decisions between not two, maybe three, or maybe even four or five choices where none of them are seemingly better than the other. You know, some of you have certainly experienced this with relationships, surely. Should I date this person? Should I date this person? You know, they ask me out, should I go out, should I not? Is he the one, is she the one? You know, they're not perfect, but they're pretty good looking, they're pretty funny, they're pretty witty. I really like him, he seems like they really like me. We have a lot of chemistry, we have a lot of chemistry. God, is it your will? Is it your will to be for me to be with this person? They're not a Christian yet. Does God say anywhere in particular we can't date a Christian? Maybe he'll be a Christian soon. He'll be a Christian after. Or maybe she doesn't go to church right now, but she is a Christian. She doesn't go to church, but she is a Christian. Surely that must be okay. God, I really like them. Can you show me your will? Should I pursue this relationship? Show me a sign. Give me like a thunder or lightning. Give me like sign somewhere. Give me a thing. Like I open the book and see some of your writing. God, show me, should I pursue this relationship? What is your will for me? I wonder if you've gone through that moment. Another very common area where we experience these thoughts, these uncertainties, is certainly with career and education. Should I change jobs? Should I stay in this job that sucks right now? Should I relocate to another position? Should I relocate to get a higher position? Should I study this major, this major, this major, this school, this school, this school? Should I go to here? Should I go to here? The States, Australia? You know, what is God's will for me, for my career, for my education, for my future path? God, can you show me the way? What usually happens then during these periods, from what I've heard at least, and from some of my personal experience, is God very rarely answers these questions directly. Like he has, and I've heard of stories where he has, but more often than not, he's pretty quiet when we ask him these things. Oh God, should I date this person? He's pretty quiet. Oh God, should I go to this job? Sometimes he's kind of quiet. And then we get frustrated, and that's understandably so. Because we think, okay, God, we're just trying to seek your will. Don't you want me to seek your will? Like, I'm just asking you what is your will so I can walk in your will, but you don't tell me anything, you don't show me anything, you don't give me any signs. God, I don't know what to do. They're all equally, I'm so lost. And those are the moments where we get the most amount of prayer requests. Like if you're in a small group, or if you talk to your friends, your pastors, you hear a lot of prayer requests about these things, but the prayer is usually not your will be done, but it's more likely, God, what is your will? Can you reveal to me your will? And then when you talk with them a little bit longer, you will find internally their thoughts are going something like this. That our friends are struggling with these different options. They're thinking something like this. God, I really, really want this. But for some reason, I think that you don't want what I want. And if you don't want what I want, then that's really, really bad. But I still really, really, really want what I want. So God, why don't you want what I want over here? And I can't say that I want what you want because I don't even know what you want. And throughout this time, God never said a word. And so what do we do, right? What do we do? Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever been through those moments where you have to choose between three or four different paths? What is God's will for us? And how do we navigate through these decisions? And what does Jesus have to say about this? And how does your will be done? How does that even relate to any of this at all? James Mulholland, he wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer. He gives us something to think about here, and this is what he says. He says, prayer is a window to the human heart and mind. The prayer that we recite reveals more about us than about God. They often expose our selfishness and our misconceptions about God. The prayers that we recite, the prayers that we say, reveal more about us than about God. And so my question is, when we ask God, God, what is your will for me? Should I pursue this person? Can you show me a sign? What should my next step be? What do you want for me to do in my life? What is your will for me? What does that prayer say about us? I think for some of us, it does certainly reveal a desire, a genuine desire to please God. I think for some of us, yes. To honor him, to really seek his ways, yes. But maybe for some others, like me included, it's revealing, it seems like a desire for God to bless our paths. Because we want God to give us success and well-being in our decision. We don't want to fail. So God, can you show me what's the way, what's the best way to take so then I don't fail? I won't go through difficulties or hardship and sorrow. And so when we're seeking God's will, maybe we're really seeking God's blessing for our will. And we want God's will to align to our life. The prayers that we say reveal about us, reveal a lot more about us than about God. It also reveals what we believe about God or our misconceptions about God. What do you think those prayers reveal our belief of God? I think maybe for some of us, we believe that God is an unreasonable control freak. And here's the logic here. From the beginning of time, God has determined that in my decision right now, there's A and B. He has already chosen one. And he doesn't tell me what he chosen. And so now I'm put in a position where I have to choose between A and B, which is equally difficult to choose. And then now if I choose something wrong, God's going to say, well, you chose something wrong. I'm going to punish you now. But heck, I haven't even heard anything from God. And that's what some of us are believing in, seems like. That God has already chosen something. He would punish us for not choosing what he chose, but we never even knew in the first place. Is that who God is? Or maybe another thing, another misconception that these kind of prayers reveal about us believing in God is that God's desires and what he wants is so old-fashioned, so outdated, it's undesirable, it's dry, it's bland, it's unappealing. So whatever he wants is not going to be what I want. Whatever I want is not going to be what he wants. So he's going to be always opposed to me. He's an old-fashioned dad. He doesn't like me. And that's maybe like what these kind of prayers are revealing. And so maybe this is why Jesus taught us to pray in this way. He teaches us to pray so that we can transform, or maybe he can transform, our misconception about us and certainly our misconception about God. Because what does Jesus say first again in this prayer? Not God, not judge, not boss, certainly not control freak, certainly not helicopter parent. He says, Abba, Father, our Father, in the most intimate sense of the word, our Father in heaven. And how does Jesus pray to our Father? How does Jesus pray as the only son? Or maybe you can see it like our big brother. How does the big brother teach us to pray? And he says, your will be done. And so on one hand, to pray this prayer is just the simplest way to understand it. It obviously is to ask God to bring his desires and his pleasures into reality. Yes. But on the other, I believe, is also to shape our desires to be what God desires. Shape our will to be what God's will is. Because you see, the phrase, your will be done, has the meaning of becoming, has the meaning of emerging, transitioning from one state to the other. So if you go back to the Carson Lee translation, it might say something like, God, may your desires emerge. Or may your desires take over. May your pleasures take over. And this is what we're praying. David Benner, a Christian psychologist, a teacher, and a writer, he writes this about prayer. He says, prayer is the place of divine transformation because it is the place in which our hearts are slowly transformed into the heart of God. And so when Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done, what is in fact happening is that God is shaping our hearts to desire what he desires. And so when we're in our tensions and uncertainties and we have to make different choices, we want God's will to be aligned with our lives, but Jesus says, no. Flip it back the other way around. God wants your life to be aligned with his will. We often want to ask God, would your desire be aligned to our desires? But God says, no. Flip it the other way. Why don't you align your desires with God's desires? Can you see the difference? It's a subtle difference. It's the difference between God's will for me and God's will. What is the difference? God's will for me and God's will. God's will for me and God's will. God's will for me is you're looking at God's will from your perspective. What is my next step in my career? Is my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my education? Should I go here? Should I college? Should I get married? Who should I get married? Should I have babies? Retire? This is God's will for you from your perspective. First is God's will, period, would be God's will from his perspective. God's will from the Our Father in Heaven perspective, from the His Kingdom Come perspective. What is that perspective? That perspective is where God is at the center. And God says, I want you to come from here and join my perspective. Join my glorious will for the world. And when you join my will for the world, the rest will be added to you. And so then, okay, we don't want to ask for God's will for me, but then what is God's will, period? What is God's will? And I'm going to try my best to highlight some points from the Bible. And you have to understand that there's simply too much. I can't just list out a bunch of them. Might as well just read the whole Bible. So I'm just going to extract out some summaries of one dimension or a few dimensions of God's glorious will. And we're going to be jumping around some scriptures, so hang tight. What is God's will? What is God's will? Perhaps one of the best places we should start is from the end. Begin with the end in mind. What is God's desire for the end of time? The book of Revelation is going to help us. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. The author says, at the end times, he saw this. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. Sea was representative of chaos and of evil. The sea was no more. It's a renewal of the now, renewal of the heaven and the earth. And he goes on to say, behold, look, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's God's desire for the end. that he wants to renew the world. He wants to live with his people. And this world or this renewal has no more evil, no more death, no more tears, no more pain. And don't you think that's a great will, a great desire? Don't you think the world needs this? The author goes on to say this. He says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb of Jesus will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. You will see God's face, and God's name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And do you see God's will? Do you see God's desire? Do you see where this is headed right now? This is headed to a renewed creation, a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be a glorious ending. People are going to dwell with God forever. No more evil, no more suffering, no more pain. And don't you agree again that the world needs this? And what happens? What is his desire? To live forever and to receive worship forever. That's what God's will is. Okay, so that's what happens there. What about now? What is he doing now? He says this. The author of the book of Romans explains what's happening now in regards to us. He says, those whom he, God, predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. There's a lot of words here, and I'll try to explain it. God predestined you. He chose you before the foundation of the world so that you can be in this will. He called you to be in his will, and he justified you. Justify means to make you right before him. Well, why do I have to be made right before God? Because God, in his complete holiness and goodness and beauty, cannot be with sinful human beings and broken human beings like you and I. But he desires to, so then in Christ and through what Christ has done, he has made us right through Christ. And then he's going to glorify us. Raise us up on the last day. That's what it means. Raise us up on the last day so that we may join in that glorious future. And so this is what God's will is. It's not only to renew the heavens and the earth, but also you are in it. You are in that storyline. He has chosen you to be in his will already, in this grand plan, that big and glorious plan. And you know what else? He didn't only choose you. He says, this is the same author as the book of Romans. He says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, of the truth. That not only you are included, he desires all, he desires everybody to come and join to this will. And how is that going to happen? Go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, Jesus says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Your role is to let others know about God's will, God's big, glorious, cosmic will. Not only you are in it, but he says, go tell others about it. How are you going to do that? Love others as I've loved you. Go tell others about Jesus Christ. And that is his method of bringing the good news to the world. You are his plan A, and there is no plan B. His will is to bring this world into a glorious renewal where he called you in it, and he calls you to bring others with you. And we're invited every day. We're invited every day to join in God's glorious, cosmic, perfect will for the universe. That is God's will. And so it's no wonder. It's no wonder Jesus says this about himself. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Jesus says, my food is to do God's will. How does that work? Because Jesus saw how amazing and how glorious God's will is, and that actually motivates him, fuels him, and gives him passion, like food. And so his life is perfectly aligned with God's will. And you have seen that happen, haven't you? When somebody lives and works for a purpose much greater than them, much more appealing and glorious than them, they get motivated, they're pumped, they have always fire burning. And that's exactly what Jesus says. When our lives are aligned with that will, it's like you have food. It's like that's going to pump you up. That's going to give you fire and passion. And your will be done. That's what God is saying. When we pray, your will be done, we are asking God to shape our hearts to desire what He desires, to see things from His perspective. And so we're invited to join our everyday life to God's glorious and cosmic and perfect will for the universe. And so when we're in those moments of difficulties and decision-making, Jesus teaches us, why don't you flip the priorities? Why don't you seek God first? Why don't you seek God first? Don't ask what is God's will for my life, but ask, how is my life in God's will? Maybe that flip will help you navigate through these decisions. How, you ask? How's that help? I still have to decide whether I should date this person or not. I still have to decide the boyfriend, girlfriend. I still have to decide, you know, where to go for a job, where to go for school. How does that help? Let me give you a suggestion. Say, imagine, if you aligned your life to God's will, if you aligned your life to pursue God's will and His desire for the world, what do you think your decision-making would look like? And put it another way, what is the decision that will allow you to pursue God's will and do His will without hindrance? Or what is the decision and the choices or the person or the job or the place that will allow you to seek first God's will? What do you think your choice would be? I think that will help clear up a lot of your decision-making. In fact, aligning your life with God's will shouldn't really be on only like relationships, jobs, career. That's shallow, isn't it? Aligning your life with God's will is talking about everyday life decisions. How do you live in God's will? God's will is for all to come to know Him. How are you going to live in that way? How do you approach your friends and your coworkers? How do you respond to them in arguments, disagreements with your family members? How do you care for them? How do you live your everyday life in that will of God? What about different aspects of God's glorious will that we didn't have time to cover? How about God's will for you to mature in Christ? How would that look like if you were to live in that? How about God's will for you to be holy? What's your life going to look like? What is your decision-making going to look like? How about His will for us in our relationship with our neighbors? It's very, very clear God's will. Love your neighbor as I've loved you. How about His will for us regarding generosity? And so sometimes we always think, oh, like God's will is so mysterious. We can't know it. Like, we don't even know it. Like, what is His will for my boyfriend, girlfriend? But God says, look, all of my will that you need is I've given you in the book. It's there. How about just living in a way that grows in the knowledge of what His good will is? Because it's all there. So maybe instead of asking, what's God's will for me and my life? How about, how can my life be in God's will? Flip it around. See what happens. Because what's amazing is that, remember this, we are praying to our Father in heaven, yeah? We're not praying to a boss, we're not praying for a job, we're praying to our Father in heaven. And you know what the Father says? The Father says, I know what you need before you ask. I know you want a relationship. I know you need finance. I know you need a career, education. I know you need all that. I know you need it before you ask. And this Father says, this is our Father in heaven, He says, look at the birds. The birds aren't even fed, but I feed them. Look at the flowers. Have you seen the flowers? They are fully clothed. Nobody does that. I do that and so much more. How much more will I feed you and care for you and clothe you? So seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the way that He desires for us to live. And all these things will be added to you. And so, praying for God's will, don't get me wrong, praying for God's will does not mean that we disregard our desires and our needs and our relationships. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we put it in the right priority, because Jesus does teach us to pray for our needs in the next petition, which we're going to go through next week. Jesus does teach us to pray for our needs. But the lesson here is, what about God's first? Seek God's first, God's will first. Because you're invited to join your everyday life into God's glorious, cosmic, perfect will for the universe. So how about asking, how's my life going to fit in God's will, as opposed to how's God's will going to fit into my life? You get that? How's my life going to fit into God's will, as opposed to how's God's will going to fit into my life? And so that's why we pray, your will be done. God, your desires and your and what you delight in, your pleasures are so good. Do it. But also, you have invited me to join in it. Oh, God, I thank you for that. Would you transform my heart so that I can think about and desire what you desire, your will? That's why we pray your will be done. Let's spend some time to pray together now. I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to do an exercise with us. Would you take the next few minutes to list out in your mind and in your heart, list out all your will, all your desires, all the things that you're uncertain about? Would you list them out before God? Would you list them out before God one by one? Let me give you a few minutes to do that. Let us pray together. God, as your children, together we bring to you our desires. We bring to you what we want. We bring to you our will, and we bring them to you. And God, we know that, in fact, before we wrote down any of that in our mind, you already knew all of those. You already knew all of the things that we have written, and even the things that we don't, or we haven't written. God, you know. And so God, like a child to a father, we give this list to you. And God, it's going to be difficult, but we want to say that, God, we trust in your good providence. We trust that you are a good father. So God, would you take this list and give to us as you see fit, as you have planned and as you have desired. And God, we also want to, part of us want to be in your big, glorious will. We thank you that you have chosen us to be in it. And God, sometimes we just lose our focus. God, would you give us your eyes to see the world, your heart to care for the world? God, would you help us to seek your will first, your will first? And God, we come to claim the promise that as we seek to do your will, as we seek your kingdom first, God, all the things we ever need and ever will need will be provided for us. And so, God, we entrust our wants, our desires, our will to your hands. And God, may your will be done in us. Amen.
Your will be done, my God and Father, as in heaven, so on earth. My heart is strong to serve exalting. Help me seek your kingdom first. Yes, Jesus walked, so I shall walk, held by your same unchanging love. Be still my soul, oh, lift my voice and pray, Father, not my will but yours be done. Focus on you. We long for you and we want to set our eyes on you and you alone. May your will be done in me. And may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is
in heaven. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, as we shared with you just earlier today, that we held a baptism ceremony a few weeks ago. We are so excited. We have 13 brothers and sisters that got baptized. And we're so amazed at how God is still able to bring his people to his will, even during this pandemic time. And we have a video recording of it, and we would like to show you some highlights from that day. So I'm going to invite you to stay, watch this video, celebrate with us, and we'll see you next week.
It's been way too long since we have seen everybody face to face, and we're so glad that you're here with us. Welcome to our baptism ceremony today. We're here to witness an important moment for our baptism candidates. We actually have 3 baptism sessions this year, and in total there's going to be 13 brothers and sisters who are getting baptized, and today we're baptizing 5 of our English candidates. Praise God, praise God.
Will you follow Jesus Christ, obey his word, and proclaim his love to the world?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Do you believe in God?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Beloved of God,
upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior,
in the witness of the church today, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
In the witness of the church today, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the witness of the church today, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And here, Bethany Chan. Upon your profession of faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, and in the witness of the church today, I baptize you, Andrea Bethany Chan Chan Tiling, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I must say that this is one of my happiest days in my life. I baptized my Kristen, and also I baptized my Gretchen. So this is my honor to be their father. Gretchen, upon your profession of faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and in the witness of the church today, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Terry 姐妹, 既然你在神在人面前口里承认耶稣基督是你的救主, 心里相信神已经叫他从死里复活, 我就奉圣父, 圣子, 圣灵的名, 给你施洗。 我就奉圣父, 圣子, 圣灵的名, 给你施洗。
我就奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名给你施洗。我这一刻我就奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名给你施洗。
我就奉聖父、聖子、聖靈的名，你都係給你施洗。